With Upali, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. With Upali. Then Venerable Upali went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, "Sir, for how many reasons did the Realized One lay down training rules for his disciples and recite the monastic code?" Upali, "The Realized One laid down training rules for his disciples and recited the monastic code for 10 reasons." "What 10?" "For the well-being of the Sangha and for the comfort of the Sangha, for keeping difficult persons in check and for the comfort of good-hearted mendicants, for restraining defilements that affect this life and protecting against defilements that affect lives to come, for inspiring confidence in those without it and increasing confidence in those who have it, for the continuation of the true teaching and the support of the training. The Realized One laid down training rules for his disciples and recited the monastic code for these 10 reasons." Suspending the recitation of the monastic code. "Sir, how many grounds are there to suspend the recitation of the monastic code?" Upali, "There are 10 grounds to suspend the recitation of the monastic code." "What 10? "A mendicant who has committed an expulsion offence is sitting in the assembly. A discussion about whether someone has committed an expulsion offence is unfinished. A person who is not fully ordained is sitting in the assembly. A discussion about whether someone is fully ordained is not unfinished. Someone who has resigned the training is sitting in the assembly. A discussion about whether someone has rejected the training or not is unfinished. A eunuch is sitting in the assembly. A discussion about whether someone is a eunuch is unfinished. A raper of nuns is sitting in the assembly. A discussion about whether or not someone is a raper of nuns is unfinished. These are the 10 grounds to suspend the recitation of the monastic code." A judge. "Sir, how many qualities should a mendicant have to be deemed a judge?" Upali, "A mendicant should have 10 qualities to be deemed a judge." "What 10? "It's when a mendicant is ethical, restrained in the monastic code, conducting themselves well and resorting for alms in suitable places. Seeing danger in the slightest fault, they keep the rules they've undertaken. They're very learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle and good in the end, meaningful and well-phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, rehearsing them, mentally scrutinizing them, and comprehending them theoretically. Both monastic codes have been passed down to them in detail, well analyzed, well mastered, well evaluated in both the rules and accompanying material. They're firm and unfaltering in the training. When there are opposing parties, they're able to persuade, advocate, and convince them, making them see the other side and trust each other. They're skilled in raising and settling disciplinary issues. They know what a disciplinary issue is. They know how a disciplinary issue originates. They know how a disciplinary issue ceases. They know the practical way to lead to the cessation of a disciplinary issue. A mendicant should have these 10 qualities to be deemed a judge." Ordination. "Sir, how many qualities should a mendicant have to give ordination?" Upali, "A mendicant should have 10 qualities to give ordination." "What 10? "It's when a mendicant is ethical, restrained in the monastic code, conducting themselves well, and resorting for alms in suitable places. Seeing danger in the slightest fault, They keep the rules they've undertaken. They're very learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, meaningful and well-phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, rehearsing them, mentally scrutinizing them, and comprehending them theoretically. Both monastic codes have been passed down to them in detail, well analyzed, well mastered, well evaluated in both the rules and the accompanying material. They're able to care for the sick, or get someone else to do so. They're able to settle dissatisfaction, or get someone else to do so. They're able to dispel remorse when it has come up. They're able to rationally dissuade someone from misconceptions that come up. They're able to encourage someone in the higher ethics, the higher mind, and the higher wisdom. A mendicant should have these 10 qualities to give ordination. Dependence. Sir, how many qualities should a mendicant have to give dependence? Upali. A mendicant should have 10 qualities to give dependence. What 10? It's when a mendicant is ethical. They're learned. Both monastic codes have been passed down to them in detail, well analyzed, well mastered, well evaluated in both the rules and accompanying material. They're able to care for the sick, or get someone else to do so. They're able to settle dissatisfaction, or get someone else to do so. They're able to dispel remorse when it has come up. They're able to rationally dissuade someone from misconceptions that come up. They're able to encourage someone in the higher ethics, the higher mind, and the higher wisdom. A mendicant should have these 10 qualities to give dependence. A novice. Sir, how many qualities should a mendicant have to be attended on by a novice? Upali. A mendicant should have 10 qualities to be attended on by a novice. What 10? It's when a mendicant is ethical. They're learned. Both monastic codes have been passed down to them in detail, well analyzed, well mastered, well evaluated in both the rules and accompanying material. They're able to care for the sick, or get someone else to do so. They're able to settle dissatisfaction, or get someone else to do so. They're able to dispel remorse when it has come up. They're able to rationally dissuade someone from misconceptions that come up. They're able to encourage someone in the higher ethics, the higher mind, and the higher wisdom. A mendicant should have these 10 qualities to be attended on by a novice. Schism in the Sangha. Sir, they speak of schism in the Sangha. How is schism in the Sangha defined? Upali. It's when a mendicant explains what is not the teaching as the teaching, and what is the teaching as not the teaching. They explain what is not the training as the training, and what is the training as not the training. They explain what was not spoken and stated by the realized one, as spoken and stated by the realized one, and what was spoken and stated by the realized one, as not spoken and stated by the realized one. They explain what was not practiced by the realized one, as practiced by the realized one, and what was practiced by the realized one, as not practiced by the realized one. They explain what was not prescribed by the realized one, as prescribed by the realized one, and what was prescribed by the realized one as not prescribed by the realized one. On these 10 grounds, they split off and go their own way. They perform legal acts autonomously and recite the monastic code autonomously. That is how schism in the Sangha is defined. Harmony in the Sangha. Sir, They speak of harmony in the Sangha. How is harmony in the Sangha defined? Upali, it's when a mendicant explains what is not the teaching as not the teaching, and what is the teaching as the teaching. They explain what is not the training as not the training, and what is the training as the training. They explain what was not spoken and stated by the realized one as not spoken and stated by the realized one, and what was spoken and stated by the realized one as spoken and stated by the realized one. They explain what was not practiced by the realized one as not practiced by the realized one, and what was practiced by the realized one as practiced by the realized one. They explain what was not prescribed by the realized one as not prescribed by the realized one, and what was prescribed by the realized one as prescribed by the realized one. On these 10 grounds, they don't split off and go their own way. They don't perform legal acts autonomously or recite the monastic code autonomously. That is how harmony in the Sangha is defined. With Ananda first. Then Venerable Ananda went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to the Buddha, Sir, they speak of schism in the Sangha. How is schism in the Sangha defined? Ananda, it's when a mendicant explains what is not the teaching as the teaching, and what is the teaching as not the teaching. They explain what is not the training as the training, and what is the training as not the training. They explain what was not spoken and stated by the realized one as spoken and stated by the realized one, and what was spoken and stated by the realized one as not spoken and stated by the realized one. They explain what was not practiced by the realized one as practiced by the realized one, and what was practiced by the realized one as not practiced by the realized one. They explain what was not prescribed by the realized one as prescribed by the realized one, and what was prescribed by the realized one as not prescribed by the realized one. On these 10 grounds they split off and go their own way. They perform legal acts autonomously and recite the monastic code autonomously. That is how schism in the Sangha is defined. But sir, what does someone who has split a harmonious Sangha create? They create a sin that lasts for an aeon. But sir, what is the sin that lasts for an aeon? They burn in hell for an aeon, Ananda. A schismatic remains for the aeon in a place of loss, in hell, taking a stand against the teaching, favouring factions, they ruin their sanctuary. After causing schism in a harmonious Sangha, they burn in hell for an aeon. With Ananda, second. Sir, they speak of harmony in the Sangha. How is harmony in the Sangha defined? Ananda, it's when a mendicant explains what is not the teaching as not the teaching, and what is the teaching as the teaching. They explain what is not the training as not the training, and what is the training as the training. They explain what was not spoken and stated by the realized one as not spoken and stated by the realized one, and what was spoken and stated by the realized one as spoken and stated by the realized one. They explain what was not practiced by the realized one as not practiced by the realized one, and what was practiced by the realized one as practiced by the realized one. They explain what was not prescribed by the realized one as not prescribed by the realized one, and what was prescribed by the realized one as prescribed by the realized one. On these 10 grounds, they don't split off and go their own way. They don't perform legal acts autonomously or recite the monastic code autonomously. That is how harmony in the Sangha is defined. But sir, What does someone who has created harmony in a schismatic sangha create? They create divine merit. But what is divine merit? They rejoice in heaven for an aeon, Ananda. A sangha in harmony is happy, as is support for those in harmony. Taking a stand on the teaching, favouring harmony, they ruin no sanctuary. After creating harmony in the sangha, they rejoice in heaven for an aeon.